from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All sources confirm that Juju Smith-Schuster is back on this team. He is going to be on this roster, which means somebody is not going to be when they cut officially the roster down tomorrow. Bob, you had teased here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports, that you had a reasoning as to why Juju is on this team.
Yeah, I just talked to a source, and really, he just wanted to come back to Kansas City, right? Like, he was done in New England. It was over. They wanted him, you know, out in New England. Chiefs are paying the minimum of his salary, so it doesn't cost them any money. The Patriots have to pick up the rest, you know, of that thing. But he just really wanted to come back, and he's not that far removed from having a big year, right, for Kansas City 2 years ago. He had a big role for Kansas City and was a big time player and a reliable receiver, really wanted to be back in Kansas City. And so they went out there and said, sure, it's going to cost us what, the league minimum to bring you back? Sure. It's a reliable wide receiver for Patrick. Sure. We'll go out there and bring him in. And they're looking at him as kind of a valuable experience, kind of rotational type of player. I mean, I wouldn't go out and draft Juju Smith-Schuster on my fantasy team right now, but that's why I view sports a lot different than the fantasy world in which we live in. It's like, does this make the Chiefs better? And in my opinion, yes, it does. Anytime you can add a veteran, valuable type of wide receiver into your rotation, and the quarterback has a relationship with him and trusts him and values him, then there you go. From the 816, did you hear rumors of Juju?
I don't think it's rumors anymore. I thought his knees were shot. How can he pass a physical?
Anybody can pass any physical if the team wants you to.
That also, according to sources.
It's just like, what about the salary cap? Anybody can fit under the salary cap if they want to keep you.
It's fake.
Yeah.
Also, he was injured last year. So do you think maybe it's because he was also on the bottom three NFL team last year that sucked, that didn't have a quarterback thrown? Do you think it's any indication maybe of that as well? Maybe that was a factor? No, he's just completely trash now. Okay, gotcha.
The three things that kind of pop out in my head is, what does this mean for Tony and Sky? Are they officially going to be gone?
I think Tony's gone. Okay. The Sky Moore one is now a little bit more intriguing to me. I don't know what it means for him.
The other one that has to merit the thought is, do they have some sort of idea that maybe there's a suspension looming? I'm just throwing that on the table because we're raw reacting to this, which is fine. That can be your opinion. I don't know. And then the other thing is that it's like the Chiefs don't ever bring back former players, right? Like, everyone was like, Justin Houston's a free agent. Go get him. Kick the tires, man.
I don't know that it ended well with Justin Houston.
Which is fine. Yeah. But I mean, you normally don't see this sort of thing in the Chiefs sort of, process of what they've done. Mm-hmm. And you make a good point, Bob, which is last year we saw how frustrated Patrick Mahomes got.
Right.
I mean, hell, two games were cost by one guy. The Buffalo Bills game lined up offsides. I understand there was still some time left in the game. Buffalo could have done whatever, but that play that was made and how it happened, the life was just taken away from Buffalo. I was at that game. Mm-hmm. I understood what the crowd reaction was when it happened and when they decided to say that it was offsides by Juju Smith-Schuster.
We've talked Kadarius about all Tony. Training camp long.
Right.
They don't want to deal with that anymore.
No.
They're done with that.
And when you go for a three-peat, everything has to be polished, perfected, and performed to the way that you have to do it at your highest level. You're looking at, when we talk about the Royals, and we'll talk to Vernier about this, on their roll to the playoffs, when the Royals make mistakes, they're simply out of the game because they're not quite good enough at the time right now or yet to take advantage of those self-inflicted wounds. The Chiefs barely figured it out at the right time last year when they said, you know what? We have six receivers on our roster, and we can only throw to one of them.
Mm-hmm.
This year, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs really want this three-peat. They want to make history. Patrick Mahomes had a good rapport with Juju Smith-Schuster. I understand the text line, and people on Twitter and my Instagram feed are like, well, what about his knees, our text group? His knees are shot. Well, he's had a year off. The Chiefs aren't kicking the tires with him if they think that he's this washed. And if they think that he's not washed or he's not injured, why would they bring him back to a roster that's looking for perfection?
I think we're also maybe just overanalyzing this a little bit. They brought him back because they feel like he still has something left in the tank. He works well with the quarterbacks. He's a reliable rotational piece. And here we go. Is he better than Kadarius Toney?
Yes.
Is he better than Sky Moore?
Yes.
Is it making your wide receiver room better?
Yes.
In a year where you want to go out and crush the competition and leave them for dead? Like, that's why we're doing this. I mean, this is on the surface like a mid type of move. Like, it's not that big a deal, right? It's kind of like, you know, an average cheeseburger. You're like, eh, okay, but you know, it's fine. It's going to give you something. It's going to fill you up. You're going to make your dinner happy and your belly full and whatnot. That's kind of where we are with Juju Smith-Schuster. He makes you better than you were. And in a season where everything is geared towards crushing the opponent, don't you want to make every position group better than it was? And Juju Smith-Schuster is so much more reliable than what Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore brought to the party. And again, I just don't think they want to leave Patrick Mahomes out there without somebody that he can always rely upon. And Juju's that guy.
I think you're right. I think we're complicating this too much.
Exactly, we are.
2 years ago, he was the number one wide receiver on a Super Bowl winning team right here in Kansas City. Now he's going to be what? Our fifth wide receiver? And this is a guy who knows the playbook, who knows Mahomes, who on third and six next to Rice and whoever you got out there, Worthy, Brown. This is a guy who can like run a really good timing route with Patrick and gain us 6 yards on any given time and any given down.
Yeah.
This is easy. And also, as far as the wide receiver room and the clarity is concerned there, I felt like we knew five receivers and then six and seven were question marks. Now we know six, and then the question is, are we keeping seven?
Yeah.
Are the Chiefs keeping seven receivers?
And I think also, too, you're right about it. Like, sometimes we just want to overanalyze stuff when the answer is pretty clear. It just makes you better.
It makes you better,
and it makes you more reliable than other guys on this roster. I do like this from the 785. Anytime somebody uses the term trot him out, I laugh, and I think it's good. Trot him out there on third down to move the chains. Exactly.
Yes.
It's exactly what it is. 100%. Nailed it.
And I think that's right what Max says. Like, we're not in here having Juju Smith-Schuster come to this team and try to get 900 receiving yards again. 350, 400, big first down
plays.
Be
there when Patrick needs you.
Third and four, inside, outside route. Boom, catch,
exactly.
Out of bounds. All right,
right,
we'll see you back on the field in the next third and four.
Yeah.
Because then guess what happens? People start leaning towards that side. Oh, is that a fake? Is that Kelsey over the middle for 15? Look, I'm not trying to say that he's going to come in here and, you know, split the atom or anything like that or be like a number one wide receiver. That's not what he's supposed to be. I think the number one concern we see on X is that people are like, does this mean Rashee Rice is getting suspended? And that's the only thing that we keep seeing, that I keep seeing
right.
as a reoccurring
And I'm here
offense.
To tell you, no, there's no conversation right now about Rashee Rice getting suspended. Again, the court date's not till like December 8th or 9th.
Yeah.
And so we've got a long time to go. This is not, again, overanalyzation. It just makes you better. It improves your wide receiver position. It does. It just improves your wide receiver position.
It gives you a guy they can fit. It lets you know that Binkley is on the text line on my phone. They can also put him on the practice squad because six veteran players can be put on the practice squad. Jay Binkley will join us Wednesday as we dive into college football coming up here shortly.
Yeah, I don't know that he's a practice squad guy. Like, if you want to have somebody on your practice squad, well, then Sky Moore can be on your practice squad. If you want to cut Sky Moore and bring him back to your practice squad, that's something you could do. Kadarius Toney, same way. But I really do think at this point in time, this is more of a tip of the cap to the quarterback and removing more anxiety from his offense that he saw last year. Like, if you're Mahomes, and I know, look, these guys are athletes, they move on. How could you possibly go out there on a game day and see Kadarius Toney out there and not think to yourself, he's going to screw this up? And so now you're playing with 10 instead of playing with 11 because the quarterback's not even going to acknowledge you out there. You got to have people that your quarterback and the rest of your team can rely on.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think the biggest thing about this is that two guys aren't making this roster, that maybe at the start of the year they thought we're going to make the roster. The second tier is that there is, to me, there has to be, because I'm human, a little bit of worrisome about Rashee Rice. And then the third one is this team is hell-bent on winning a three-peat, and the best way you do that is get guys that the guy that throws the ball to, who's your most valuable player in this team, who's the best player in the entire NFL, give him guys that he knows will be at a spot at a certain time and will catch the damn ball.
Absolutely. And catch it. And catch it and not drop it. That's the other thing. It's not just run the right routes. It's utilize your hands and catch that football. And one of the worst sayings I hate, one of the worst cliches is, and we hear it a lot more now than ever before, we just got to get 1% better. Every day we got to get 1% better. Like, it is so ridiculously bad. But did they get 1% better today by signing Juju Smith-Schuster? Yeah, they did. Did you make your life easier for your quarterback today? Yeah, you did. So I think there's the text line, lot of overanalyzation on what's gone on with Juju Smith-Schuster. It's simply you got better by signing Juju Smith-Schuster. You got more reliable by signing Juju Smith-Schuster. That's all it's about.
Yeah, I'm excited to have Juju back. I really am. And, you know, I think the text line's pretty upset. You know, you guys think we have a lot of depth at wide receiver that we just don't have. You know,
But say that again?
You guys think we have some crazy depth that we don't have at wide receiver.
Nobody's saying we have crazy depth.
We don't say that.
That's why they signed Juju Smith-Schuster.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, who is good depth.
Yeah, he's going to be a veteran rotational piece.
This is what you say with Sky Moore, Bob. We think poorly of him because of the second round pick. It's so hard to just think, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we think about him bust. You know, he's a first round pick. He's actually a decent football player. Juju is thought about, as he was on Pittsburgh, maybe even a little bit with Kansas City, as this number one, really great number two. Mm-hmm. He's not that anymore.
No, God, no. He's not. That's why your expectations have to change.
Yes.
If he catches two balls per game and it moves the sticks, perfect.
You know who doesn't line up offsides ever? Juju Smith-Schuster. You know who catches that ball against Detroit last year in week one?
Juju
Smith-Schuster. Yeah. So I can hear all the conversations about, well, his knee, blah, 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 yeah, this and that. It's like, yeah, well, Sammy Watkins was also always injury-plagued, but guess what? He showed up when it mattered. Showed up in the Tennessee Titans game. A lot of people think that's one of the more underrated catches to kind of solidify that game. Look, again, I think it goes back to a lot of points you've made, a lot of points Max made, and a few that I brought up. Yes, there's a question about Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. Yes, you can have your question about Rashee Rice. The other thing you have to understand is that he's not here to be a 850-yard wide receiver. That's not his game.
But that's the world a lot of people live in, right? Like, you're supposed to have 1,000 yards. If he has, like Max said, 350 to 400 and a couple of touchdowns, and he makes plays when you need him to make plays, and he's available when you need him to be available, that's why he's coming in. Again, he's looked at as a veteran rotational player. That's it. No more.
Speaking of a veteran and somebody who's way more than a rotational player, we go to my best friend and one of the guys that I truly love with my life, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Big Vern, how are you on this big Monday for your boys in blue?
Just getting 1% better.
Day by day. Hey, see radio, do radio.
That's
right? That's
right.
What they tell you.
Yeah,
Vern.
You know what I found interesting, real quick, is the voice that Mac just gave the text line. I think we all have a voice that we give the text line. Dusty, when you read the text line, what does it sound like?
Juju raises out wide receiver group floor potential.
Fesco.
Kind of similar, but usually it's more angry.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they're not going with this guy,
I read it with my teeth clenched.
Yes.
You're petting a really cute dog.
If they run Chris Stratton out there one more time.
Yeah.
Vern,
anybody complaining about Juju doesn't know ball from the 816. Like, yeah, that's how you read it. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love Kansas City. Let's go.
Vern almost lost his breath laughing.
Vern, this damn series against Cleveland don't get no bigger than this. You got Cole Reagans on the mound. What does Vern want to see today in this first matchup?
Everything starts with Cole Reagans. You can't talk about the doubleheader or this series or this road trip or the Riptide without a strong performance from Cole Reagan starting up in a few hours from now. Because if you don't get six solid frames from Cole Reagan, where are you turning? Are you asking Vinny and Bobby and Salvi to carry you to victory? Are you really looking at that? I mean, how many outs can Lucas Ursa get? Cole Reagans has to set the tone for this entire road trip, for the rest of the Riptide, and really from here on out. I mean, I said it going into yesterday's game. If Seth Lugo doesn't give you six, I have a very tough time imagining the Royals walking away with a victory. Listen, I understand we're 130 games in, and he's a vet, and Salvi's a vet, and Waka's a vet, and they're all grinding. I mean, Bobby's grinding, I'm sure. The guy's played in every single game so far this season. But, you know, I go back to what Bob was saying all offseason. You know what? Last year doesn't matter. Why can't this team win the division? And while myself and many other would be like, okay, yeah, Bob, that's nice. But no. And here we are, 130 games in. Nothing has made sense about this season.
No.
Going from 106 losses to on pace for 90 wins. Why start being realistic now? Why lower expectations now? You're here because your rotation has been unbelievable. You're here because Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby have come through in clutch spots as often as anybody in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to expect something less in the final 32 games. Even if that sounds unrealistic, that I need Reagans and Bobby and them to be perfect, well, they've been perfect so far. I need them to hold on for another month.
From the text line, Vern, as we were talking about that, I do like this question from the 816. Can Juju replace Will Smith, Vern?
Yeah, you know what? Possibly. Because I heard you mention it earlier, talking about Will Smith. You know, I only want to see him in mop-up duty moving forward. Yeah, I'm with you. But that's what the role was yesterday. That's what Chris Stratton was supposed to do 2 days ago. And they don't mop. They just knock the bucket over and make a bigger mess. They're not even doing that right now, Bob. I mean, it pains me to say, because these guys next to John Sherman and this front office, what they did in spring training and what they've done throughout the season to keep this clubhouse light, calm, collected, focused, feeling as if we're going to win on a daily basis, man, you can't minimize the impact of Will Smith and Chris Stratton. But it's September now. It's not about feelings anymore. I hope that they show up sometime soon and say, hey, man, my back's barking.
Right.
So you could just put them on the IL. But if they don't do that, I just don't see how much longer they can really stay on this team, because they serve, respectfully, they serve no purpose.
So you're equating, and this is where the generational gap on this show is going to be tested here for a second, Vern. You're saying Will Smith is essentially Chevy Chase on Saturday Night Live doing Gerald Ford.
Yes.
Just okay. Falling over the podium, tripping over the flag, all that kind of stuff.
See, I don't want to call him a buffoon, because that's what Chevy Chase was. I don't want to call Will Smith or Chris Stratton buffoons, but here's your task, and they're unable to do it. And it's the simplest, for a big league pitcher, it's the simplest task there is. They can't do it. I don't see where they fit in.
Yeah, so that's the question now for me, is like you're getting down to nut cutting time, right? You've got your best pitcher pitching today. You got Alec Marsh, obviously, is the guy called up pitching in the second game today. How would you manage this pitching? Because I even suggested earlier, and I don't know if it's the right answer or not, like when you have an off day, just continue on your rotation. Like if that happens to be Lugo's day to pitch on a Thursday and it's an off day, I wouldn't move him to Friday. I just pick up on Friday with who was supposed to pitch on Friday if you had a game, you know, on that Thursday to kind of preserve Lugo a little bit. How would you do that moving forward?
I would if he acknowledges that he needs that break. But you listen to Lugo after the game yesterday. He says, nah, I feel 100%. There's no fatigue whatsoever. Now, it was a billion degrees out there, so that, you know, lends itself to maybe tiring at the end. But, you know, Lugo didn't meet his standard yesterday, but also the defense behind him. Once again, you know, this series against Philly was awfully similar to the Boston series, to the two series losses at Target Field. And, you know, for as much as Cole Reagans is the beginning and end of everything moving forward, starting today, if that defense and base running doesn't get cleaned up, this team has no chance of beating Cleveland, right? I mean, we can't look to the bullpen and say, lead us. We can't look to anyone in this lineup outside of Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi and say, lead us. If the Royals are going to win, it's going to be starting pitching, better defense, and better base running. Tyrone Blanco can't make the third out at third base and take the bat out of Bobby Witt Jr.'s hands. We can't have pop-ups falling between the right fielder and the second baseman. Pass balls. Bobby not making plays that he's made most of the season. So, yeah, for as much as this guy is blowing past his career high in innings pitched, Seth Lugo wasn't bad yesterday. Now, he wasn't great. He didn't meet his all-star standard. But if the defense makes plays that they know they should make, Seth Lugo, in my opinion, gives you a quality start yesterday. And we're talking about how the defense or the offense would have been the conversation as they go 0 for 11 with runners in scoring position. No, I wouldn't do that. If Lugo says, I'm good, I'm not feeling fatigue, you probably don't have anybody better than Seth Lugo that says, I'm ready to go. For as good as Michael Wacha's been, for as outstanding as Cole Reagans has been, Seth Lugo's right there. So if he says he's good, I put him out there and I just ask my defense and my base running and what has led me to 14 games above 500, I ask them to clean it up and help the guy out.
So this is the final question before you get to your fantastic baseball card game, Vern.
Yes.
We talked last week about how Blanco had that big series in Cincinnati and how Cutrero had just kind of played the matchups. Now with Hunter Renfroe out on the IL, we'll see more Blanco, or is there another name that maybe we could pay attention to that might also have some sort of play in this sort of situation with Hunter Renfroe being out?
Yeah, the guy they brought up, Tyler Gentry, a 25-year-old that to me seems like a poor man's Hunter Renfroe, maybe a 4A Hunter Renfroe. We'll see if he's in the lineup. Well, he'll certainly be in the lineup for one of the two games. As coming up, Logan Allen. So you're going to be seeing lefties really in both the day game and the night game. So I would imagine Tyler Gentry finds himself in the lineup for one of them. Tyrone Blanco for the other. Neither one of those guys really instill a lot of confidence for any sort of offensive impact, right? Tyrone makes the impact on the base paths. We'll see what Tyler Gentry can do. Maybe he can prove me wrong. Maybe he's more than a 4A Hunter Renfroe. But no, offense, man, it sounds silly, but we have 130 games of evidence. I'm not going to sit around and cross my fingers and hope that this offense turns into something that it's not.
Right.
What it is a boom or bust offense that must get boom from Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. You hope that MJ and Fermin or Michael or someone else steps up on a day in, day out. You know, every once in a while you get a big day from a Paul DeJong. But Bobby, Vinny, Salvi must lead the way. And, you know, if Tyrone or Tyler Gentry want to pitch in, that would be very much appreciated.
It would be, yeah. And Gentry's major league debut yesterday, pop up on the first pitch.
I was like,
God, that guy, you could just see how, like, excited maybe is the word I want to use to get out there and do that thing. Like, and then first pitch popped it right up. I'm like, well, that didn't
go. Can you imagine if he doesn't get another AB? He will, but the rest of your life, you have to think about that one pitch that you could have let go and enjoyed your time in the show a little bit more, but no, he's up there hacking.
Hacking away, man. First pitch pop up. I'm like, that's a terrible major league debut.
At least he went to the other field. He didn't punch out in that big spot like Freddie Fermin. That's what they did yesterday. In spots where you cannot punch out, they punched out way too often.
They did yesterday, I thought. And really, not taking advantage of Alec Boehm running off the field, not knowing in the first inning, like that was an opportunity. I said to Jen, I said, they blew it. Opportunity there. Like,
you had the feeling, didn't you? Right there.
You did too, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I'm glad I'm not the
Bobby,
only one. Yep.
Two on, nobody out.
Yep.
Vinny goes down looking, and then they give you a free out, and you still don't take advantage of it. Yeah, you were chasing that for the rest of the day.
The rest of the day. All right, let's play a little baseball card game, Vern. I got an 89 upper deck.
Ooh.
Featuring somebody named Ken Griff. No. Dave Stapleton.
Dave Stapleton, not Chris Stapleton.
That's right.
No idea. Astros.
Milwaukee.
Outfielder.
The Milwaukee Brewers.
Hmm.
Brewers is Algonquin for the good life. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah, Alice Cooper taught me that.
Uh-huh. I got a scorecard from 1989 as well. Somebody named Jody Reed.
Oh, I know that card. I want to say Boston Red Sox.
You nailed it, my friend. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that card. I have that whole set of those score 89.
Yeah, and I got another score 88 featuring Eric Plunk.
Ooh, Eric Plunk. Bifocals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Let's say he bounced around. I'm going to say he's with the Padres.
Nah, this one he's with Oakland.
Damn. All right. Yeah. I got one. Well, it's 3:33.
Yeah, you're one for three. That's good. Yeah.
You have a damn good pregame show at 11 o'clock, Fern. So we'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we're having a little bit more of a winning streak that time of year. But, Vern, as always, we love you and have a good pre- and postgame show two times today.
Dusty, I love you too, man. Thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.